on his situation. He took a pitch in the back. He got beamed for crying out loud.
We used heart attack. Me.
Managers on a Major League Baseball team don't make decisions.
Could have done without that.
Credibility in this situation is worse than losing your job.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
The castration of the Major League Baseball managers, we know it.
Ask me about my winner.
What's going on, everybody? John Pielli here, hosting the Passball Show. Going to start off by saying farewell to one of the greatest running backs in the history of the National Football League. The first player and only player to rush for over 2,000 yards in a 14-game season. And, of course, I'm talking about Orenthal James Simpson, one of the greatest running backs in the history of professional football. And if you look back at his career, really, you know, before the days of Tony Dorsett and Eric Dickerson and Walter Payton and, of course, Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith, there was really nobody you could put up to and compare to what OJ was able to do on the football field, winning the Heisman Trophy from the University of Southern California and obviously the solid career he had with the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League. And listen, you're going to be very polarized on your opinion of O.J. Simpson, but my belief, and it's not going to be popular, is in and within the justice system of the United States of America. And of course, O.J. is going to be remembered universally and forever for the car chase of 1994. And of course, what is perceived in some eyes as his involvement in the murder of his wife, Nicole Brown, and of course, Ronald Goldman. You could say wrong place at the wrong time. You could say just a random person that just happened to be there when this heinous crime was committed. Now, we're talking about a murder that was never solved. And I have to wear that if I'm going to praise and give credit to O.J. Simpson for the life that he had and his career as a football player. Also, his portrayal of the character Norberg in the Naked Gun series, which I thought was hilarious. I thought he played that role perfectly, and I enjoyed his character in it. And you know what? It's on the record. It's common knowledge of how I feel about Naked Gun and the series and Leslie Nielsen and the whole thing. But you know, there's a lot of people that are going to be polarized by it. There's a lot of people that are going to look back and say that, you know, in their mind, they believe he was a murderer. And the criminal justice system, no matter how it's set up, you know, the $60 million or so money that he's, you know, millions of dollars that he spent on his dream lawyer team that ended up getting off of him off of the murder charges, is a system, a setup, a understanding that, you know, the justice system is and can be considered a matter of opinion. But what I do want to talk about here, because I think this is just as valuable of a point, and like I said, dude, everything I say, I put out there because I want the back and forth. I want your opinion. I want to hear from somebody that is really, really angered by me giving credit to O.J. Simpson for the great football career that he has. I want to have this discussion because what I believe was the turning point in society and what could be perceived as a failure of the criminal justice system was the court of public opinion, which is all that exists out there right now. When it comes to O.J. being tried, he was found not guilty. Yes, he was found guilty in a civil case, which is separate and has a different set of proof or burden of proof that has to be proven. You know, we're talking about money. It's not a sign of the actual guilt. So what I'm looking at, and like I said, I want to have this discussion. You may remember OJ more of that trial and everything that could be perceived with it. But I look at the car chase of OJ Simpson in 1994, and that was really a change in the perception and what ended up happening afterwards between the court of law and the justice system, which I trust, and the court of public opinion, which seems to be stronger now than it ever was before. And the court of public opinion being stronger than the actual justice system is something, in an opinion that I throw out there, and I say that it's a failure of the United States and the people. The justice system should be stronger than a court of public opinion. In a lot of people's opinion, OJ is a murderer when he was found not guilty. Last thing I want to bring up today, you're talking about arm injuries as they're perceived in baseball. And Gerrit Cole, maybe a couple other people, believe that the pitch clock has something to do with it. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to quantify how much of the hurried motion of what the pitchers are doing are leading to injuries. To me, it's a separate discussion from a major issue that I see in baseball. And going back to whether it's Noah Syndergaard, whether it's Jacob DeGrom, whether it's even Gerrit Cole, who I know he doesn't light the radar guns up well over 100, but he's throwing a exceeding amount of pitches above 95 miles an hour. Spencer Strider getting a ton of accolades and credit for basically lighting up the radar gun over the past couple seasons. Now he's injured. My belief, and I want your opinion as well, is that it is more related to how hard the pitchers are throwing, which is leading to the injuries that we're seeing in baseball. I don't think it's the pitch clock. I don't think it's many of the other things that have been brought up as we're trying to figure out why. Why are there so many arm injuries? Why are pitchers, you know, just about every one of them, or, you know, the 80% or higher rate of pitchers to actually have to have some sort of ulnar replacement, whether it's Tommy John surgery or something similar. We know it's an epidemic in baseball. And the great pitchers, what we want to do, we want to see the Pedro Martinez's, the Greg Maddox's, the Bob Gibson's, the Juan Marichal's, and obviously nobody ever saw the Cy Young's and a Christy Mathewson's and a Walter Johnson's of this generation. We want to see them pitch. You know, we want to see the greatest of this generation have themselves a full career. And these arm injuries are an integral point when it comes to the deterioration of arms in their careers. Now, the arm surgeries are allowing these pitchers to come back and be able to do it again. But in the case of Noah Syndergaard, he's not been able to recapture that velocity. He has not been able to get back at the same level that he was before he had Tommy John surgery. I'm sure he was disappointed when he found out he was going to have the procedure, but I'm sure there was some confidence in there that he was going to be able to come back and perhaps be as good, if not better. He's an example of somebody that had Tommy John surgery and was never the same again. He is not pitching in Major League Baseball. He's not even pitching in the minor leagues on a minor league deal for somebody. So there is a point of Tommy John surgery actually not helping him out. And my belief, and I'm going to continue to stand by this point, pitchers are throwing way too hard. You look back at past generations, you know, Pedro Martinez was a hard thrower, but he didn't have to throw 100 miles an hour. The pursuit to try to light up radar guns is the number one thing when it comes to injuries in Major League Baseball. This is the Passball Show, brought to you by JohnPLA.com, by St. Aloysius Church in Jackson, New Jersey, by Two Ways, One Passion Food Truck, located in Scranton, Pennsylvania. If you're interested in hearing me flap my yap mouth, check me out on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, videos, of course, on YouTube. Check out my shorts, which I'm doing the top 10. I think the latest one I did is the top 10 New York Hockey Rangers. We'll be back with you soon. Like I said, I want your opinion when it comes to OJ. I want some people that are really polarized, that are really pissed off that I'm going to speak of OJ in a positive light. I want you to come back at me. I want to have that discussion with you. I continue to say that I will respond to all comments on my videos and all platforms. So please hit me up. God bless you. And as always, I'll see you on the other side.
Chris Bryant was on the Chicago Cubs roster opening day.
I have many leather-bound books. My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Why don't you give it all or a majority of it to the team that wins the friggin' World Series?
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
I may come out as the biggest Major League Baseball manager apologist.
That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
Because hitters are going out there saying, I'm either going to hit a home run or I'm going to strike out. And if I don't get a pitch that I feel like I could drive out of the park...
Not even supposed to be here today!
Especially prospect whores and hoarders are going to be a little pissed off at me when I say this.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude!
There are only two managers in baseball's Hall of Fame who have losing records. One of them is the iconic Connie Mack, who you could say, in spite of winning 5 World Series championships as a manager, could be in as much as a pioneer. And what side of the spectrum they're on. Were they pitching? Were they batting? If your favorite team was pitching and a ball got inside to hit a batter, there's no way it could have been on purpose. But if you were a fan of the team that was batting and a ball got inside and hit somebody or went behind somebody's head, absolutely 100%, unequivocally, that pitcher was throwing at
him.
They put their tail between their legs and decided they're going to do exactly what they're told. You damn well right better give him a contract extension. You damn well right better make him the manager over the next series of years.
35 years ago, I could have loaned your parents the money for an abortion.